We are back at it.
My responsibility is to make this place great again.
Champions of the Big 12.
This is not the 1980s OSU.
Remember, always have faith in God, but have faith in yourself, and certainly have faith in the Cowboys.
We are back at it. I've always wanted to say that. Hello and welcome to a crossover Pistols Firing and Reload pod. Carson, a bit under the weather this evening, is unable to make it, but the season is almost here, and we wanted to get some season predictions done. So first of all, I guess, Colby, thanks for joining the Reload crew this evening.
Yeah, Reload plus Colby. Hope Carson gets feeling better and looking forward to previewing the season. I think Nathan and I were talking to the golf course the other day. The football season starts so late this year. Like, the calendar is jacked with September 1st being on a Tuesday. It's like we're having to wait a whole extra week for football, and I don't like it. Last year, you could have made me wait an extra week. This year, I'm kind of ready to watch the football.
Yeah, I think everybody's ready. Eric Morris included. We got to talk with him a little bit today. But for this predictions pod, we are going to go through the schedule game by game. We're going to give some offensive MVPs, some defensive MVPs, who we think is going to be, not the leading rusher, because I think we all think Caleb Hawkins is going to be the leading rusher, second leading rusher, and just certain things along those lines. So, lads, let's get it started with Tulsa. That is going to be September 5th in Tulsa. Second year under Coach Trey Lamb. Beat OSU last season for the first time since 98. Quarterback Baylor Hayes returns for the Golden Hurricane. He followed Lamb from East Tennessee, I believe it was. And the Golden Hurricane finished, last year it seemed like the Golden Hurricane probably had a great year. Finished 4-8, even after beating Oklahoma State in Stillwater. So, we'll just go sort of guy by guy with a little bit of explanation. Colby, what do you think for this Tulsa game?
Yeah, I'm going to be really disappointed if it's anything other than a rout. Like, Trey Lamb, they had their fun last year. He got to come out on the field and have the quotes. He got to have his quotes this offseason. And that's all fine and great. But as we know, college sports can change in a hurry these days. And this is a different football team. It's a much better team. I've got a 52-20. I went ahead and put out score predictions for every game on the schedule. I think they are going to go to Tulsa, to Chapman Stadium, and beat them like a drum. And then Trey Lamb, he won't be able to talk all that he's been talking. He can pop out to Cedar Ridge and play some golf and get that handicap down, because he's not going to have to worry about Oklahoma State for too much longer.
Southwell, we'll kick it to you next.
Well, I want to start off by saying I've got a list of notes, and you guys probably can't see that very well, of all these games. And if you'll notice, I've got absolutely nothing written under Tulsa, because that's what I think about. Absolutely nothing. This is going to be the easiest win outside of Murray State. Enjoy it while it lasted, guys. Trash talking days are over. We're ready to move on and kick this thing off right with the Eric Morris era.
And Nathan, we'll go with you.
Yeah, I think this is one of those moments we're going to see the difference between a Mike Gundy regime and an Eric Morris. Coach Gundy classically would get everybody in. You'd have a really mundane game plan and just like, hey, a win's a win, get in and out. I don't feel like this is going to be one of those scenarios. I think Coach Morris is going to come out blazing. He's going to want to prove something. He's talked about it. He wants to roll the ball out. And I think we're really going to see it. I think we're going to start fast, and I think we're going to blow the doors off and then hopefully maybe get some of those guys in. But he's been holding these guys back some in practice. Like he even brought up, some guys are not even going to the ground anymore. Hawkins hasn't really been hit for a reason. Like, let's take the tread off those tires and let's start it with Tulsa.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you all. I think this is going to look a lot more like the 24 Tulsa game, that game in Tulsa where Alan Bowman was the Walter Camp National Player of the Week afterwards, and then the season went crap after that. I think that's going to look at least the Tulsa game specifically is going to look a lot more like that than it did the last season. So I as well have Tulsa. Kick it over to Oregon, which I imagine is going to be a little bit different of a story. If you guys don't think that Oregon's going to win, kind of tell me what you think a successful Oregon game looks like for Oklahoma State. Colby, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think it looks like competing, not getting totally blown off the field. I think if your head coach isn't out taking selfies with the opposing fans before the game, like that'd be a great place to start. If Eric Moore's sitting on the walk taking pictures with Oregon fans, I'd really like that. I'm not taking shots at anybody in particular, just in general. I think that's a bad look. Yeah, and then go out and compete. I don't think Oklahoma State's going to win this game. If they do, I promise you I will be beyond irrational. In the post game, we'll be hoisting banners, we'll be winning championships, we'll be scheduling the Seattle Seahawks for an exhibition in the spring. Like, I'm going to get unreasonable if Oklahoma State beats Oregon. I don't think they will, but I don't think they're going to get their doors blown off either. I've got a 41-24 in favor of Oregon. I imagine that's probably around where the point spread's going to come in. I haven't looked to see if there's an advanced spread, but 17 feels about right. Anything closer than that, you lose by 7 to 10 points, that'd be a smash. You lose by 30, I think that'd be really disappointing and make us maybe pump the brakes on some of our optimism. But you need to compete. You don't need to win the game, but Nathan, you need to compete and feel good about yourselves as you walk out of the stadium that day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most disheartening things, obviously, besides the competition factor just not being there last year, was it looking like two completely different classes of athlete. Like, that was like, oh my gosh. And I think Oregon probably has the best roster in football top to bottom this year. And so if you're able to go out there and say, hey, we're not getting run by, our running backs are able to do things, wide receivers are finally getting some separation, you're starting to see some of those things. You're like, hey, we're really headed in the right direction here. You know, Dan Lanning is an incredible coach, awesome recruiter. And so I fully expect Coach Morris to come out with some awesome plays, really try to get up and get going. But obviously you expect to lose this football game. I think anything under 14, I think anything under 17, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself because it's game two. We still don't know a whole lot about this team. I think regardless of the outcome, I think you might get a little better feel of talent, what we have, but there's so much cohesion that's going to take place over the time with so many new players. So you hold it under 17, and I think you're feeling really good about yourself.
Nathan, you mentioned it. Dan Lanning, great recruiter. In the last three seasons, they've got third ranked, fourth ranked, and fourth ranked. So I think that this will be a game that it's indicative for that. It's going to be a different class of athlete once again, unfortunately. I would say with even if you have Oregon scoring one more touchdown per quarter than we get, then they're going to win by 28. And I feel like that's probably what's going to happen. So I feel like even if we get blown out, it's not indicative of what Oklahoma State actually is. It's just showing exactly how good Oregon is. We like to talk about 10 win seasons. OSU's had two since 2019. Oregon's had six, all but the COVID year. And these guys have been winning at a high clip for a long time. Dan Lanning's got them rolling. The only thing that maybe Boone Pickens Stadium has to show is like, fans show out, best shot of win. We've got super high temperatures. These guys get exhausted, and maybe we're able to like hang in there a little bit. But I mean, outside of Dan Lanning get busted for cocaine possession, I feel like we've got no shot at this. So,
yeah, I'm in you guys' boat. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm in the cocaine boat, but I do think like if you score 20, you're feeling a lot better. I was at that game in Eugene last year, and it just like. Two plays in, I was like, what am I doing here? Why did I travel this far to the Pacific Northwest? It was beautiful, honestly. Really,
oh, it's so beautiful.
Oregon as a state. But I was like, man, I wasted a lot of money coming to this football game. So, yeah, I think, you know, you score in if you score 28, I'm feeling really good. I'm not sure that I'm going to have any big takeaways about the defense from this game, you know, good or bad. I guess good is potential on the table. But if they just get, you know, the doors blown off by the Oregon offense, I saw that happen last year. So I don't think I'm going to be too, you know, offended by that. But yeah, I'm not gonna be leaning Oklahoma State in this one either. But before we move on to Murray State, I meant to do this right off the top. The Pistols Firing Podcast is brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop. Shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com or at 244 South Knobloch in Stillwater. Can't thank Chris's enough. They've been with us for a really, really long time, going from the transition from Porter to me, and they've stayed loyal the entire time. So shop at Chris's when you're in Stillwater, and it really does help the podcast. All right, let's move over to Murray State a little bit. Murray State last year, like Oklahoma State, went 1-11. This is year three for head coach Jody Wright. That was all that I have written on Murray State. I take it that we're all gonna, you know, given the Oklahoma State beat UT Martin last year, We're all going to take this team beating Murray State. Yes. Is there much to discuss about this one?
Just real quick, I'm laughing because I saw the look on Nathan's face. And it was the same look I had on my face when you said they went 1-11. We both kind of we were taken aback, like, God, how embarrassing. 1-11, they must be terrible. and it's like, yeah, that was us last year. So, you know, praise whatever God you praise that things have changed a little bit.
We won their last game against Indiana State. I wonder if that was like a feel-good moment, like, hey, you know what, we stuck it out and we won this game, or if they were just like, all right, I'm ready to get this over with.
So they're coming in on a heater is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
That's right. We did not win our last game, so yeah, they've got that going on.
Or the last nine or whatever it was. All right, so then we'll move to West Virginia. That's where the Cowboys start Big 12 play in Morgantown. Tenure two for Rich Rodriguez. Went 4-8 last season. They're bringing in Michael Hawkins, the OU quarterback transfer. Added running back Cam Cook from Jack State. He's a preseason All-American, ran for about 1,700 yards and 16 touchdowns last year. Also, a guy that they keep talking up in Morgantown, Jaden Bray. Oklahoma State fans will be familiar with. He caught a touchdown pass in the Fiesta Bowl. That seems like it was, you know, forever ago. He's dealt with injuries in his time in Morgantown. They're hoping that he's going to be back this year. So obviously a big way to, you know, start the Big 12 slate on the road. I'll start with this one. I do think that they're going to find a way to win. I think it's going to be maybe a little uncomfortable for a little bit, just as this team, you know, we've talked all offseason, literally all offseason, about, okay, how are some of these guys going to, you know, transition into the Big 12, go up that level of competition. Doing that in Morgantown, West Virginia, almost adds another funky little flavor to it. I think West Virginia's run game is going to be very good with Hawkins and Cam Cook. So I think it's going to be maybe a little bit more uncomfortable than fans that, you know, just want to watch this offense just do crazy, awesome things all season. I think it's going to be a little uncomfortable, but I think they're going to find a way in the end and win it. Justin, we'll start with you on this one.
Yep, totally agree with all that. I had those guys written down too. Cam Cook from Jacksonville State led the nation in rushing with 1,659 yards on 295 carries. So, yeah, I feel like that's probably a good test for us, right? To be able to figure out Oregon, we're not going to really know much about that game. I feel like they can run all over us, and we're still not going to really know much about our defense. I think this is a much better measuring stick. I feel like whenever we're against Cam Cook, like, this is a good test. Last year, their offensive line had zero starts. This year, they have 8 offensive linemen with college snaps, so they've got more depth. I feel like this is a matter of, you know, the first test on the real big test on the road. And if Mestemaker and, you know, some of the guys that we're expecting to step up, this is where they start to do that. So I have this as kind of like one of those coin flip games, but I'm going to take the optimistic route and say that OSU is going to win this one.
Nathan, what say you?
Yeah, I actually feel pretty good about this one because I really don't like the way that Rich Rod has kind of tried to almost reinvent what he used to do. I mean, he had a special thing with Pat White and that whole group. I don't think Hawkins is that level of quarterback. And I think this group that we have and the ability that we have at quarterback, the one thing that we've got going in to just about every single Big 12 game is we're going to have as good, if not the best quarterback on the field. And we haven't had that in a very long time. In order to go on the road and win, that's what you have to have, or you have to have a superior group. I think we've got a superior group of athletes and we've got the best quarterback. And I feel really good about us starting off conference play and Coach Morse going on the road and getting a big win.
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable going on the road for the first conference game of the Morris era. West Virginia can be a little wacky, but let's be honest. For a long time now, they've been pretty mediocre. And Oklahoma State has had some good success in Morgantown. That's one of the places that Ollie Gordon got loose and had a lot of fun. So I think Oklahoma State wins this game. I do think that there will just be that kind of first real – I mean, Tulsa's a road game, sure. You're hopping on a bus and you're driving 60 miles. This will be like your first real road test with real travel. I think it could be tough, but I think Oklahoma State's just going to be too talented. Oklahoma State is going to be two-dimensional on offense, three-dimensional if you want to consider the use of the short and intermediate passing game, the ability to take the top off the defense, the ability to run the ball, make you chase sideline to sideline. Like, I think Oklahoma State's going to be able to do all of that. We got to see Michael Hawkins a little bit at Oklahoma, which leads me to believe West Virginia is not going to be able to do all of that. I think that they're going to try to run the ball for 400 yards against Oklahoma State, get Hawkins on the move, get that back from Jack State going. And I don't think that that's enough to beat an Oklahoma State offense that's going to be able to score. Something in 34-24, somewhere in that range. A competitive football game, uncomfortable for a while on the road. But in the end, I think our ability to beat you in more ways offensively is going to prevail.
You co-sign all of that. Moving on from, you know, year two of tenure two for Rich Rodriguez to year two of tenure two for Scott Frost at UCF. The Knights are coming to town. They went 5-7 last year. They bring in Alonzo Barnett from James Madison. He threw for about 2,800 yards and 23 touchdowns last season. Also ran for about 600 yards and 15 more scores. So pretty electric quarterback. I think UCF is still a bit of a sleeping giant in the Big 12 just because of the Florida connection and the you know the recruiting that could be made. But with that being said, a trip to Stillwater, I don't think that they're going to win this game. I think this is another Oklahoma State win. Yeah, that's really all I've got to say about it. I'm excited to watch Alonzo Barnett. But I think if Oklahoma State's going to have the year that, you know, a lot of us hope that Oklahoma State has, the bounce back, I think you've got to be beating UCF at home. We'll start this one with Justin.
Yep. So basically same thing with, I actually have this one maybe a little bit closer than you guys are probably imagining. I still have Oklahoma State winning, but I think that this can be an uncomfortable game. We're coming off of a bye week, which I think really helps. But the defense for UCF is pretty good. Like, they were one of the top defenses in the Big 12 last year. They lost a couple of guys to the NFL and Malachi Lawrence and Najee Kelly, but they should still have some pretty good depth. Alex Grinch, as their defensive coordinator, seems to be doing pretty good there. I think that what's going to be the thing that gets us over the edge, BPS, Boone Pickens Stadium's atmosphere for that game is going to be the difference. I think that they're going to be able to maybe produce some hidden yards for us and, you know, get us the victory. So, Nathan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think I'm sick of going to UCF because nothing has gone right for the Cowboys since they've been in this freaking conference. Like, I don't want your space game, your moonwalk, whatever you want to call that freaking thing. I want no part of it. I don't want any part of your rainstorms. Like, let's just go to BPS. Scott Frost, man, that guy, he's the opposite of a vibe. When you see him, you're just like, oof, like, I don't know how you're recruiting, big dog. Like, this is not looking good. So I really don't – there's not a whole lot I like about what is going on at UCF outside of the fact that they've kicked the crap out of us ever since they've gotten this conference. So I actually feel pretty confident in this one that when you're going to come into BPS, like Justin said, if we are going to be 4-1 at this point, that place is going to be lit. It's going to be rocking, and I fully expect us to take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it all summer. I've been listening to you guys all summer. Like, we believe that this is a talented staff in Stillwater with Coach Morris, Coach Casty. Like, we think these guys have good heads on their shoulders. Oregon in week two, West Virginia in week four, you get the bye. After the bye, with two real tests in your back pocket, I mean, if this team is even close to as good as we think they are, they should come back and they should handle UCF by two touchdowns. I've got it 41-27, somewhere in that ballpark. Not just an absolute drumming like against Tulsa, but I don't think that this is a game that with 5 minutes left, I really hope I'm not sitting in the West end zone worried about who's going to win the game. I think Oklahoma State should have pulled away by then if they're the caliber team that we think they are. We're going to know after the West Virginia game some more things about this team, and then we'll really know after the UCF game. Like, if they lose either of these, I think we've got some problems with some of the predictions that we've made. If they lose both of them, we've got big, big problems. They need to win both of these games because their schedule, I think, is backloaded with tough games in conference especially. They need to get off to a good start. They need to beat UCF by two touchdowns and just keep this thing moving.
Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to mention I didn't earlier. They're entering 2026 with 9 consecutive road losses. So
nice.
Take it for what you will for how much carries over from year to year in the era of the transfer portal, but I'll take that stat too.
That brings up a trip to Houston. The Cougars went 10-3 in Willie Fritz's second season. They returned former 5-star passer Connor Wegman, threw for about 2,700 yards, ran for 700 yards, which I think is an underrated part of his game, and accounted for 36 total touchdowns last season. I sort of think that this is going to be, you know, I think thus far we've all somewhat predicted chalk for the season. I think this is how a lot of people would expect the season to go with the lone loss to Oregon at this point. I think this game is massive. I think this game is going to be the difference in, okay, is this like a really, really good Oklahoma State team? Or is this like a team that's, you know, going to have a nice bounce back season that we're all going to be happy about, but it's, you know, not necessarily going to be the highest of heights. So, it's an interesting trip down to Houston. The last time that Oklahoma State was there, I went down there, the 23 season, and it felt like there were more Oklahoma State fans in that stadium than there were Houston fans. Houston was, you know, going through a rough time at that point. That was Willie Fritz's first year. So I don't necessarily expect that to be the case going forward, but I don't know. For this game, I think I'm going to have to, because I want to be somewhat, you know, I've sort of got a number in my head of what I think Oklahoma State's going to, you know, the number that Oklahoma State's going to get to, and I've got to manipulate that somehow. So I think that Oklahoma State's going to lose this game. I really like Willie Fritz as a head coach. They're returning a little bit more than, a lot of bit more than Oklahoma State, but I just think it's a team that's somewhat stuck together. Willie Fritz is a good coach. It's at Houston. This will be a big game for Houston as well. They'll have played Texas Tech by that point, I think. So, you know, if they lose that game, they're going to need this game to you know, get back in the Big 12 title fight. If they win that game against Texas Tech, then, like, holy crap, everything's sort of out in the open at that point. So, just for the sake that I've got a number in my head that I need to get to, I'm going to give Oklahoma State a loss here. Colby, we'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, I think that these two teams at the end of the season, we're going to look back and we're going to say that these two teams are on the same tier in the conference. I don't have a strong lean one way or another who's going to have a better season between Oklahoma State and Houston. I don't know that I feel great about Houston replicating a 10-win season, but I don't know if I feel great about Oklahoma State winning their first three road games of the season, their first two conference road games of the season. I've got Oklahoma State losing this one 38-28. I would love to be wrong about that. I don't think Houston is some sort of crazy juggernaut. Like, I give Oklahoma State a 0.1% chance to beat Oregon. I think this game at Houston, I think it's more like 60-40. And I can live with 60-40 for a road conference game. But like you said, I don't think this team's winning 10 or 11 games. The losses have to come somewhere. And I've got most of them on the road, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I'm a big Willie Fritz fan, man. Like, he's done it at all levels. He's done it consistently. He builds things. He's not a fast turnover kind of guy. You see that in their roster. You see that in the way that he has kept people going. And I think this is one of those games, like Marshall said, there's so many – the Big 12 is really bunched up. You've got, you know, your top – I think probably we can all pretty much agree that Texas Tech and BYU would be the top of the Big 12. And then you go after that. I think there's a group of – 5 to 6 teams in that second-ish tier that they can do all of it. And I don't know. You know, I think it's a toss-up game. It's going to tell us a lot about this team. I originally had this as an L because to your point, I think going on the road, Coach Willie Fritz, they're not going to beat themselves. They've got a senior quarterback. I just think there's a lot of things going in their favor. And, you know, I don't have us winning 10 games this year, so they've got to come from somewhere. So I think this is probably our first time we stub our toe.
Yeah, I've actually got OSU losing this one. I'll continue to sing the praises for Willie Fritz, but fifth-year quarterback Connor Wegman, this is his fifth year, but it's the first consecutive year where he's had the same offense. So that's pretty crazy. But we've also – I don't want to overlook their receiver, Amari Thomas. He's got nearly 1,000 yards – 12 touchdowns last year. So, I mean, this is a guy that has a chance to potentially be one of the best receivers in the Big 12. It's a matter of if our defense is going to be able to step up and stop these guys. I'm not so sure that they can do that. You know, I don't have any reason to believe that so far. And then again, with Willie Fritz, they were 5-1 in one score games last season. I think they probably can continue that trend, and it's probably going to be one of those cardiac Cowboys heartbreaking losses, unfortunately.
Man, everybody picking Oklahoma State to lose that game. It's like there's an echo in here. Speaking of Echo Contracting, our good friends are a proud sponsor of the pod, offering electrical contracting services throughout all of Oklahoma. They pride themselves on high-quality professional jobs done right the first time. Call or text for a quote today, 405-279-8444, or email info@echo-contracting.com. Marshall, talk to us about the Fighting Deion Sanderses.
Absolutely. Colorado 3-9 last season, which was year three under Coach Prime. It looks like Julian Lewis is going to start at quarterback. I don't know that he's officially been named, but he's a pretty big recruit. Played in a couple of games last year sparingly. It was sort of an interesting year last year for Colorado. Deion was going through some health concerns in talking at Big 12 Media Days, which, you know, he likes to talk. So he was saying he feels much better. He feels much better about, you know, this season going into it. With all that being said, though, I think Oklahoma State clears Colorado here. Deion can recruit. So you've got to wonder about, you know, the athletes that are coming in. They're going to have some decent athletes on the field, but, I just think that, you know, it sort of goes back to if Oklahoma State is going to have the season that we think that they can have, that doesn't include a home loss to Colorado. So, yeah, Justin, what do you think about this game in Colorado?
Yeah, not the homecoming. We've got to bounce back, right? We've got to start winning our homecoming games again. They do have San Jose's transfer wide receiver, Danny Scudero, who led the nation in receiving yards with 1,297. He had 10 touchdowns last year. Can Deion Sanders recruit? Maybe. I don't know. They were like 26th in transfer portal rankings, so pretty good. But I feel like every time I see them on social media, I don't know if it's the Guardian caps, but everybody looks like they have a massive head and tiny, scrawny arms. I just feel like it's a bunch of scrawny dudes that are going to get wrecked. So I have Oklahoma State winning this one. And if you look at their schedule before they play us, they've got Georgia Tech, Northwestern, Texas Tech, and Utah. So I feel like they're going to be pretty beat up at that point in the season. Yeah, I'm just going to call it one a win.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody has been following any of their social media, but after I heard and watched their strength coach get up there and try to really jazz them up, I said, I'm out on this team. That was terrible. So I think that they're going to be one of the worst teams in the conference this year. They really don't have a lot going for them, and Deion hasn't done a whole lot since his children and the number one pick in the draft left. So, all right, was he number one? Number two pick. Anyways, a very good football player, Heisman Trophy winner left. Since that point, he has never really built anything at any stop he's ever gone to, and this is kind of the pattern that follows Deion Sanders. He comes in hot and heavy, and then you're like, there's no substance. And I think that's what you're going to see here from this game. I think we're going to wax Colorado, and I think you're going to see this is one of those moments where you're going to be like, Drew Mestemaker's freaking awesome. And I think this is a 3-score game. I think BPS is gonna rip after what they did to us when we went there and we were down bad. So, yeah, I don't see this being much of a contest. I think Colorado's not going to be good at all.
Yeah, I'll keep the echo chamber going. I'm totally out on Colorado as a legitimate football program that we should be taking seriously at this point. Deion brought his luggage, and it was Louis. And then his luggage went to the NFL, and it has not been replaced with anything. And then he went to Ross's, and he got a couple of duffel bags, and that's what they've been using the last couple of years. So unless Travis Hunter's walking through that door, we owe him one for what took place in Boulder a couple of years ago. That was boy, to turn the TV on that day. What was the somebody tell me the quarterback's name that went crazy? Milwaukee? Milwaukee Smith, yeah. Went nuts against Tech, and then we go up there, and it's like, God, that was brutal. So we owe them one. I've got it at 45-20, and if it's any closer than that, I'll be pretty disappointed and surprised that Colorado's better than I think they are. Also, I didn't realize their schedule was that brutal. Nice pointing that out, Justin. The scheduling gods, what a slap in the face to Colorado. Are we looking like a 1-5, 1-6 football team coming into Stillwater? It's going to be ugly.
We're all in lockstep with each other right now. We're all at 5-2 in the exact same manner. I think a phrase that could strike some fear into Oklahoma State fans' hearts: the Cowboys are going to Ames on Halloween, no less. So Iowa State ushers in new era. Jimmy Rogers comes over from 1 year at Washington State. Previously, had won a FCS national title at South Dakota State. I think this is Nathan, you mentioned that you think Colorado is going to be among the worst teams in the league. I think Iowa State's going to be the worst team in the conference just because of how late Matt Campbell left. I think that really hampered things because then all of a sudden, you know, it's free for all for the roster. You know, they're going different places. They do bring in Jalen Rayner. He comes over from Arkansas State, the quarterback. He just put up numbers every year that he was playing at Arkansas State. I think in 3 years, he's had about 8,700 passing yards, 1,200 rushing yards, 67 total touchdowns across those 3 seasons. So a real dynamic athlete at quarterback. But I just think that with, you know, with how late Matt Campbell left to go to Penn State, and then he took a lot of, you know, basically anybody who was anybody on that roster with him. I just think it's going to be a rough year for Iowa State. I do think Jimmy Rogers is probably a pretty good coach. I think that, you know, they could find success at some point, but I don't think that's going to be on Halloween in Jack Trice. As crazy as that sort of feels coming out of my mouth because I've, you know, gone up to Ames and, you know, we all remember the 2011 game. I just think this is going to be, you know, the cakewalk of cakewalks for Oklahoma State in terms of on the road Big 12 games. I'm saying way too many bad jujus to get going. So, Nathan, what do you think?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with this one. I've been a big fan of Jimmy Rogers ever since he was at South Dakota State, and he did some really good things there. But they just got gouged, man, and they got gouged late in the process. And it's not like they have a ton of resources to be able to overcome that and overcome that late. So I think it's going to be maybe a little bit closer than it should be talent-wise, because I think he's really just going to coach to that. He's a defensive-minded coach. I think he's going to slow it down, you know, don't beat yourself, keep everything in front of you type of style. They're going to let that grass grow like they usually do and slow everything down. But at the end of the day, I just think Iowa State maybe like one step ahead of Colorado, if they are at all. And I think this is a got Oklahoma State fans back to feeling good, doing what you're supposed to do against bad football teams. And this will have been back-to-back bad football teams. So I expect some resounding wins.
Yeah, again, I still think it'll be tougher on the road. The later you get in the season on the road, I think it gets even tougher. But I don't think Iowa State is going to be a very good football team. Matt Campbell said in a statement after he left, "Words will never be able to properly express my emotions as we embark on this new journey and the gratitude our family feels for our time in Ames." And then I click over to my other tab here, and I see that 24 players left Iowa State for Penn State, 10 of them starters. So I must say, from someone who has not heard from their ex, it's really nice to read those nice words that Matt Campbell had for Iowa State. But he took everybody on his way out the door, the quarterback, the running back, the tight end, and seven other starters. I don't think this team's going to be very good. Oklahoma State should win this game somewhere in the 38 to 20 range and take care of business and then come back and settle in for what I think is going to be a very tough November with a juggernaut and a couple of road teams we'll get to momentarily. But Justin, you bucking the trend here? I feel like we might have to get November before we get a single contrary prediction.
That's all right. We're going to keep it going. So again, yeah, Jimmy Rogers, we saw whenever we were previewing a few years ago against South Dakota State with that opener, it's like, this guy's pretty good. So he ended up going 27-3 at South Dakota State, one of those losses being to Oklahoma State. Then he goes to Washington State, who was terrible, and he got them even to bowl eligibility. So even with like 75 to 80 players in the transfer portal that they got, he was able to elevate Washington State to 6-6. So I thought that that was pretty good, pretty indicative of how good of a coach Iowa State has. I don't know that it necessarily would have meant anything. Like if Matt Campbell stayed and all those players at Iowa State stayed, I still probably would have picked Oklahoma State to win this one. I don't think they're going to do anything at Penn State. I just don't have any reason to believe in Iowa State at all, but this is even more of a reason not to believe in them. And then again, if I'm going to look at the schedules, they've got at BYU, then they have a bye at Arizona, then Oklahoma State. So a pretty tough stretch there for them in October. I think we benefit from that, and I'm going to say Oklahoma State with another win.
That brings up Oklahoma State's first back-to-back road games of the season and only time that they'll be on the road in back-to-back games. Kansas State is next. Kansas State going through a coaching transition as well. Obviously, Colin Klein, the K-State quarterback, turned K-State OC, turned Texas A&M OC, turned K-State head coach. He returns Avery Johnson, who has had his ups and downs at K-State. I don't think it's a I think that's a fair thing to say. His highs are really high. You know, we all watched that. What was it, 2 years ago that they played in Manhattan, and he had like five rushing touchdowns or something ridiculous. So yeah, they also got a really good backfield. Joe Jackson returns, and then they got this guy named Rodney Fields. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, as well as Wendell Gregory is going to be chasing Drew Messemaker around. So I've been to K-State the last two times that Oklahoma State has gone to K-State. That was a 48-0 loss and a 42-20 loss. And this is sort of me playing the game.
Stay again. Home.
Yes, that sounds like it. This is sort of me playing the game again of, these losses have got to come from somewhere. I think this is another, I think these are two teams that are, close in skill level that are about on that same tier. But I'm going to give K-State the win in this one. Two back-to-back road games. I'm still high on Avery Johnson. I whenever he's good, he's really, really good. And I just think these are two pretty evenly matched teams that, going to Manhattan, I'm going to give the edge to the Wildcats.
This is just some incredible groupthink that we've got going on here. I don't think you go win all your road games. And I think winning road games in conference in November is just a hard thing to do. And Manhattan is just, like you said, Marshall, it's just been a place of absolute nightmares. I think that this could be a game between two teams in the Big 12 that to this point in the season have surprised some people and are near the top of the conference standings. And it's like in November, that's where you either finalize yourselves as one of the last four teams fighting for those two spots to win a conference championship, or you find yourself in that next year of a team maybe finishing fifth in the conference. And I don't know, in year one, I kind of feel more that way about Oklahoma State. I just need to see how it all comes together. Hopefully they can reach the absolute ceiling, but it's called a ceiling for a reason, because there are many more median outcomes that sit in the middle. And I think Oklahoma State's going to find one of those. And I think they're going to lose this road game in November. I don't love that Wendell Gregory is on that roster. I don't love that Rodney Fields is on that roster. But yeah, it just, Oklahoma State could win this game. I think it could be a coin flip. Let me see what I had my score here. I think I had it close. I've got a 31-27. So I've got, this is a very competitive game between two solid football teams. And when that's the case, I'm inclined to pick the home team. Justin?
Yeah, same deal. I really wanted to pick them here, but as you guys have alluded to, it's just like, you can't win them all, right? And this seems like to be the one where, yeah, we've had some trouble recently in Manhattan, and I understand it's a regime change and we've got the potential to turn that over. I don't see that necessarily happening. I also don't see that Drew Messemaker is going to go in there with shaky hands either. So like, we should be able to have a closer game than 48-0. Good night. But yeah, looking at their schedule, they could be 7-1 entering the game versus Oklahoma State. Very easy, manageable schedule. Maybe even 8-0 if they upset Houston and Manhattan. So this is a chance for them to, I think, continue to roll with that momentum. And Avery Johnson, I heard that he's able to run like 23 miles an hour. So if Colin Klein's going to be able to come in there and unlock another level of potential for that guy, we might be in for a world of hurt. I hope our defense will be able to get some pressure on him, though. Nathan, what do you got?
Yeah, so this is a coin flip game for me, as we all have said. And this is Colin Klein's first season to be a head football coach ever. Like, I'm not saying we all think he probably has a good chance of being very good. He's a perfect fit, you know, alma mater. He's got a running back for a quarterback, just like he was. Like, there's so much that he's got going. You saw what he did at A&M last year. But I thought A&M was a lot of fool's gold. If you actually watch what A&M did last year with Marcel Reed, with the things that he was doing in the games that mattered, when it really started getting down to it, they were not that good on offense. I don't like Avery Johnson as a quarterback. And I think he's kind of gotten in his own way. Last year, he tried to be this pocket passing NFL style quarterback. Like, that's not who he is. So if he doesn't accept the role of what he's going to be at the college level and be good at it, I think you're going to see more of the same there. And, you know, they're not an overly talented roster. I think they're a talented roster on par with Oklahoma State. And we all love the perspective of Wendell Gregory, what he could be, what he could have turned himself into. We saw flashes. I also saw 90% of a game where you never saw him make a play. And so I'm not saying he is that guy or he isn't that guy, but if you're going to pay him that kind of money, I don't know that he's going to come in there and get you 13 sacks in the conference. So is he going to be their next great edge rusher? I guess we'll see. I'm going to pick Oklahoma State to win this game. I like Eric Morris going into this one. I like what Oklahoma State is doing. If we are going to be the team that we think that we can be, if Drew Messemaker is going to be putting up these awesome numbers like I believe he will, and we have a run game and a running back like Caleb Hawkins, that's how you win road football games. You go in there, you run the ball, you take care of it, you make a couple big plays, you get a turnover or two, which Avery Johnson loves to do. And I think Oklahoma State wins a big one and really announces that we're back in the Big 12 Conference.
Let's go!
Yeah,
let's go with this deviation. Come on, Nathan.
Yeah, I've got a spreadsheet with all of our picks here, and I was just like, this was a pointless spreadsheet to make. We're all going to make the same pick. So that was big for that. Honestly, Justin's stat of K-State's season being pretty light going into that Oklahoma State game makes me feel a little bit better about Oklahoma State, because if K-State's sort of leaning on Oregon film, or if Oklahoma State loses that Houston game, and they're maybe feeling a little too high about themselves, then that gives me something. So
I think it's Kansas State's homecoming, if that plays a factor for them. I don't know.
So maybe they'll be distracted. I don't know.
It's not the world's greatest homecoming.
Yeah,
definitely not.
So that moves to Eric Morris's alma mater, the reigning Big 12 champs, Texas Tech, will be coming to Stillwater. They'll be looking to do something that no team has done since OU in 2020, which is go back-to-back in the Big 12. That's sort of a fun stat in the league that You know, somebody else keeps winning it every year. Tech obviously lost a lot to the NFL, but they've also got a lot of money to replace what they've lost to the NFL. They lost Brendan Sorsby to a gambling investigation. They might be getting that Florida State quarterback, Castellanos or whatever. So that that's a whole other deal. So, yeah, this is a game that's I think it's going to be – I think this is going to be a barn burner of a football game. I'm sort of got like 2017 bedlam in my mind where it's just like points all over the place. That's not exactly Texas Tech anymore because Texas Tech's defense is so good. But I'm living in like 2013 still. That's sort of what I think is going to happen is that it's going to be a lot of points. I think Oklahoma State's going to come out on the wrong end of it, but it's going to be like, okay, that was a good scrap nonetheless. So I've got Texas Tech winning this, which would mean back-to-back losses for Oklahoma State, but I think we're all going to leave that game going, you know what, that was at least a lot more fun than the losses that you know we've all been subject to the last couple of years.
I'll repeat what I just said about Oklahoma State going to Manhattan. It gets harder and harder to win these conference road games the further you get into the season, the further you get into November. And I don't know, guys, maybe Texas Tech just rolls out of bed with Cody Campbell's money and they just come back and repeat the greatest season in school history. Maybe it's just that easy. Or maybe they lost serious high-level NFL talent to the league. And that doesn't get replaced with dollars. That gets replaced with experience and real players. And I don't know if David Bailey and their particular Jacob Rodriguez is his name. I don't know that those guys are just going to be so easy to replace. We took a couple of guys from them that could have probably been nice depth pieces down there and probably would have competed for starting jobs this year in Mo Horn and Braylon Rigsby. And I don't know. The vibes down there are weird. You got the NFL guys to replace. Also, I mean, they've got a bunch of money down there. Again, shout out Cody Campbell. They spent $3 million at quarterback, and he spent all that at DraftKings, and now he doesn't get to play football anymore. So it just – the vibes down there have been weird. I think this game is going to mean a lot to Eric Morris, and I don't think we should undersell that. I don't think we should undersell that this is a road game for Tech in November in what's going to be a just bat-you-know-what crazy atmosphere in Stillwater. I mean, praise to the scheduling gods that we get this as a night game. I think Oklahoma State's going to beat them. I really do. I don't think they're some untouchable juggernaut like they were last year where they're coming in and just steamrolling everybody by 30 points. Like, they lost real talent. They lost their quarterback. The vibes were bad. They're going to be getting booed all offseason. They're going to be the villains of the Big 12. Has Texas Tech ever been the hunted? Like, they've always been the hunter. They've never had to be the villains. They've never had to be hated. They've never had to deal with the vitriol. Joey McGuire has never had what's coming his way from opposing fan bases coming his way this season. Like, I don't think that Tech repeats as conference champions, and I think this loss in Stillwater is one of the reasons why. I've got an Oklahoma State 30, Texas Tech 28 in an absolute classic, Nathan.
I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, honestly, one of the first games that I remember of like the Gundy era was that when Bennett Pettigrew went stumbling down the sideline, like, oh,
I'm a man, I'm 40.
Who is that? Yeah, right. It's exactly right. And you're like, oh my gosh, that dude's a monster. We've had some classics with Tech. I cannot go out that far. I love that you are. I just think we're just a step below right now with where we are and where we want to be. But to your point, if we are at the point now where and we're anywhere close to what we've predicted going into this, and let's just say we're able to pull off that Kansas State game, and then we're coming back home. A BPS, no joke at that point, and it is not going to be a rollover win. I just think they've got so much talent on the defensive side. They are absolutely loaded. They brought in Romine, the linebacker from Kansas State, who I think is – he's not quite Rodriguez, but he is a dang good football player. And they do a lot of good things. So I do think that we're going to lose this game, but I think it's going to be one of those games that even though you lose, everyone's like, okay, they're legit. You go and you went on the road, beat Kansas State. You come back, you take Texas Tech to the wire. I see this one as a 9-point win by Tech, something like that. Like, I don't think it's going to be a runaway by any means.
Yeah, unfortunately, another loss for Oklahoma State. Colby, I wish I could go with you, man, but just not quite there yet. But Tech, appreciate it now because we're coming. All right, like this is probably your last chance before we start getting things rolling. I think so. Texas Tech, I mean, potentially this is a trap game for them, but no, I feel like probably the best depth at running back in the conference, probably the best offensive line, probably the best tight end room, receivers, you could maybe, quarterback though is basically like show up, don't screw up, I feel like anybody could have success playing quarterback at Texas Tech right now. Their defense, I think they're returning a decent amount. So there's maybe a lack of continuity, but I feel like they're still probably going to be the best defense in the Big 12 as well. So the only thing that gives me some pause is when they played in the playoffs last year against Oregon and they got blanked. It's like 23-0. It's probably one of the best defenses Texas Tech has had, and they're not going to be returning, I don't think, that same level of talent. If our offense can put up those numbers, Colby, I'm surprised that you had such a low scoring game. I feel like you could double both of those totals and get around where I would probably land for that game, but I still have Texas Tech winning that one.
It's going to be cold, harder to score in November.
Maybe. It's pretty hot right now. So how much colder can it get from now to then? Yeah.
I can't even, like, the idea of it ever being chilly again seems very far away.
Yeah, I keep thinking whenever it rains, I'm like, okay, this is it. It's finally going to cool off. And then it just
goes, oh, when does it rain? That's
straight back to heat. I'm glad I'm picking these games first, because I'll tell you what, whenever you know, Colby's going in and describing this Texas Tech game, I'm like, shoot, maybe I want to pick that. And same thing with the Kansas State argument. So, you know, that goes – then the Cowboys are going to be traveling to Tempe to play Arizona State, the 2024 Big 12 champion. Kenny Dillingham lost Sam Levitt to LSU this offseason. They've got two guys, Kentucky transfer Cutter Bowley and Michigan transfer Mikey Keene. He didn't play at Michigan last year. He's more known for his Fresno State tape. Those two are battling it out for the quarterback one spot. I think that this is – I think they've just sort of been sliding down a little bit, Arizona State, and it's almost to know, you know, if they could have kept Sam Levitt, I think I'm feeling a lot better about this team. But I think, you know, after back-to-back losses, I think Oklahoma State gets back on track. They go to Tempe. It's a little warm out. The wrestling duels the night before, I'm really excited about that. I'm going to get to go watch a road wrestling duel. Who'd have thought? But yeah, I've got Oklahoma State winning this one. I think it'll be tight, but I think it'll be, you know, comfortable. I think it'll be like a nice 10-14 point win for the Cowboys.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like whenever I've seen a lot of predictions on this game, it seems like everybody's picking Arizona State. I don't really know why. I feel like the desert. I'm not scared of the desert. You know how hot it is right now. And again, November, who cares? Whatever. But, you know, they're not sure it is dry heat, but, you know, hey, it's not that bad. They're not sure who's going to be quarterback. They do have a pretty good receiver that transferred in from Colorado, Amarion Miller, who had 18 yards per reception last year, 8 touchdowns. We've got sixth-year defensive back Lyric Rawls. You probably recognize that name. But outside of that, you know, I didn't really even have anything to go off of with their schedule other than maybe they were looking over us in anticipation for the rivalry game against Arizona. But still, I don't see, you know, Cam Scataboo's not coming anytime soon. Will Levitt's not coming anytime soon. Like, I don't see how they're replacing any of the talent that they've lost. They're on a downward trend, which I'm sad for, because I really like Kenny Dillingham, but I'm not an Arizona State fan. So I'm an Oklahoma State fan. I'm going Pokes for this one.
Yeah, this is, I feel like I'm
just say Will Levitt. Sam Levitt, also known from the famous Apple TV show, Your Friends and Neighbors.
Well, that's a good show. But I feel like this is a game we should win. But I'm struggling here because I start going down here, I'm like, I got too many wins on here. But like you said, you lose Levitt, you lose Jordan Tyson, who is, for my money, the best wide receiver in college football last year.
He was.
And then Relique Brown, who was an awesome running back, now at the University of Texas. You know, those are three playmakers. And you brought up Cutter Bowley. They thought that they found one in him and they were going to run away with it. If he has not been named the starter yet, that is alarming to me, because Kenny Dillingham is kind of a little bit like Coach Morris in the way with the quarterbacks. You're finding Sam Levitt. You're finding these guys. He's had a really good track record wherever he's been, University of Oregon and such. And then you don't know your quarterback yet. Not saying he's not going to be good, but it's like, that's a little bit concerning to me, because that's what you brought him in there for. I really think this is a 50-50 game. Like, this is a coin flip. It's whoever, that one turnover that you can't have at that moment. And I think this is a maturation game for our quarterback from what you saw last year in a road game or in a big game where he had too many turnovers. I think this is where you're going to see one of his growth. And I think we go in and we win this game. And I think we're in a really good spot. And I just like the way we match up. Honestly, I like the way we match up with Arizona State. Athletically, Kenny Dillingham does a fantastic job, but they just lost so much and they didn't replace it. And they leaned on Leavitt, Tyson, and Scadaboo for everything that Arizona State has done. And now every single one of those pieces is gone.
Yeah, I knew that mine was going to get a little wonky when we got to November. I've got Oklahoma State in my mind pulling off the massive upset the week before. And I think by law, if I pick them to win the Texas Tech game, I have to pick a letdown the following week. Like, if it goes how I'm playing it out in my head, it would be this huge emotional get up. And obviously, it would not be at the same level. But we all remember what happened the week after we won the last Bedlam game, right? We all remember going down and having the Space Cadets launch us to the moon for four quarters. Like, emotional letdowns are a thing. So I could be totally wrong about all of November. I think Nathan and I have now picked all three November games exactly the opposite. He could be totally right. I could be totally right. It could be somewhere in the middle. It's another road game in November off a huge win. At this point, you're probably still maybe in the running to get to the conference title game, depending on where BYU and Utah are at and what's happening with Kansas State, whether you win that game, Houston. Like, there's a lot of other factors. I think the big win, the pressure of this game, and I do believe Kenny Dillingham's a good coach. So they lost a lot, but he's turned out some pretty talented guys through there. Whenever you look at the skill positions, we've mentioned Scadaboo, Relique Brown. You were dead on with Jordan Tyson. Nathan, he was so good. He was going to be so good this fall. He hurt his hamstring last year for Arizona State. He hurt his hamstring again this year. I've done one fantasy football draft. I drafted him immediately and put him in my IR spot, hoping that he comes back and I can keep him next year. But I think Dillingham's a good coach. I think he'll be able to reload. So I've got a loss on the schedule for Oklahoma State. That's the fourth one that I've given them. So, I think it could be a very roller coaster season and a very roller coaster November in particular.
That brings us to the season finale. We finally made it to 51 minutes into this podcast. Kansas comes to town. Lance Leipold, for a long time felt like the new kid on the block. This is year six for Lance Leipold. I believe it's also his first year without Jalen Daniels. They went 5-7 the past two seasons. Jalen Daniels finally gone. They've got two, this is sort of unique. They've got two guys who have only played or returners vying for the quarterback spot, and Cole Ballard and Isaiah Marshall, they're still battling. That's just, it's so unique in this modern world for there to be a quarterback competition that doesn't involve somebody from the portal being a part of it. With that said, I don't think Kansas is going to be very good this year. I've got the Cowboys pretty comfortably closing the regular season out with a win.
Yeah, so this is ceiling for me. I comfortably think Oklahoma State wins this football game, and this, I think I have us with three losses on the season. And if that's the case, this is a team that you blast. Iowa State, Colorado, and Kansas, in my mind, are the three worst teams in the conference. They've been trending down in the wrong direction for quite a while at Kansas. They were so hot, and then Jalen Daniels, everyone thought he was going to be Big 12 Player of the Year, and all this stuff, and then it was not good. And they're having a hard time even selling out their brand new stadium, which is never a good sign. So I do think we win this football game, I think this is the way I've gone is ceiling for us, and I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I've got a 45-27 Oklahoma State. I think you should go out and beat Kansas pretty good to close the season. That, in my books, would leave them at 8-4, which you're not going to contend for the conference at that point. But 8-4 would be a really good season. Like, we've been through it the last couple of seasons, 0-18 the last 2 years in conference. Now, this season has nothing to do with those seasons. It's a totally new roster. It's totally new staff. It's all new money that's come through the door. Like, it's going to be very different. It's going to feel very different. But does very different in year one lead to 10 wins? I mean, I hope it does. I think that they can beat Texas Tech at home. And if they do, maybe they can beat Houston on the road. Maybe they can beat K-State on the road. Maybe this can turn into something crazy and something special. But I think that most of the outcomes, if we run the simulation on this season 10,000 times, I think most of them come back with 7 or 8 wins. And I've got them sitting at 8-4. And I would feel good about that at the end of the season. 8-4, go to a nice quality bowl game. And hopefully your quarterback doesn't go in the first round. Hopefully he gets a big fat check and sticks around for 2027 and you can build on this. So I think they win here. And Justin, where are you at with the finale?
8-4 as well. Just took a different path to get there. but OSU's going to win this one. I tried to look up some information about Kansas just to have something to say. I couldn't really find anything. Like, we don't know who their quarterback's going to be, but I guarantee you it's not going to be anything close to what they've had over the last however many years that Perry Ellis was playing there, Jalen Daniels was playing there. And so, yeah, I just don't see that they're going to have any momentum. I like that they're trying to pour some money into the stadium and facilities and try to build that program up. Seems like Leipold's a good coach, but it's just not clicking for whatever reason. And I don't expect it to click late November in Stillwater for our senior day. So yeah, OSU is going to win this one as well. So
just to recap, myself, Colby, and Justin all have 8-4 with, all of us have the Oregon game, as a loss. All of us have the Houston game as a loss. Colby, Justin, and myself have the K-State game as a loss. Justin, Nathan, and myself have the Texas Tech game as a loss. And then Colby has the Arizona State game as a loss, but he picked the Texas Tech game as a win. So, we'll move over to offensive MVP now. But, Colby, do you want to tell us about some more of our friends here?
Absolutely, I do. Bada bing, bada boom. Here we go. Farm Service Company. This is our newest sponsor. They are a real estate brokerage spanning three generations of Oklahoma State graduates in Chickasha, Oklahoma. They offer farm management for non-resident landowners, farm and ranch appraisal, and farm and ranch sales. Check out farmservicerealestate.com for more information. If they're from Chickasha, you know they're good people. Reach out to them. Farm Service Company.
Okay, that brings up the offensive MVP. I think there's probably, you know, a name that a lot of us are going to go with. Honestly, in watching the North Texas season back, I'm getting a lot higher on Caleb Hawkins than I even was before that. But I still think just with all the weapons at his disposal, all the receivers that we like, Caleb Hawkins in the passing game is also a bit of a menace. I'm going to have to go with Drew Mestemaker. It's not going to be a very controversial pick here, I don't think. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm not going with Drew Mestemaker. I think Caleb Hawkins could have one of these legendary Oklahoma State running back seasons that we've seen. I don't know. I just – these highlights that are coming out and rewatching the North Texas film last year, like his combination of size, speed, agility, like Mestemaker 6'4", Hastings says he looks like he could be every bit of 6'5", and Hawkins does not look small standing next to him. I don't know. I think that he could have a season that could rival an Ollie Gordon season, a Chuba Hubbard season, Justice Hill, Joseph Randall, Kendall Hunter. Like, I know those are a lot of names to throw out in year one, but I think he's a special back that could be playing on a special offense for a special offensive-minded head coach. And Mestemaker, probably the easy button. He's the quarterback. You know he's going to be slinging it all over the yard. But I really like what Hawkins brings to the table. So, Nathan, you were kind of fist-pumping when Marshall brought – Hawkins up originally. You on the Hawkins train or are you going Mestemaker?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the Hawkins train because I really thought of this just not even statistically. I just thought of like who's gonna carry this team, who is gonna be the one man that's like, hey, we're going into battle with this guy. And I think obviously you want your quarterback to be that dude, but I think Hawkins is gonna be a tone setter. When you listen to how the guys talk about him last year, when you listen to how the coaches talk about him, when you go and see him in person, like he's a tone setter, and I think he's going to be the most valuable player on offense for this team. I think he's really going to galvanize. And the way he runs, he can do multiple things. You can't just shut him down just by doing one thing. The guy's got great hands. He's going to do everything for this team. I saw him on kickoff return. I saw him on punt return. I saw him doing several things at practice. I mean, they're going to utilize him, and they're going to make sure he gets everywhere. So while you could probably pick any three people here, I'm going to go with Hawkins. I just like the way that coach wants to run the ball, the way they ran the ball last year, and his skill set. I just think he's going to be awesome.
Wow. I'm going to deviate, I guess, finally, from you guys. But I'm going to go with Mestemaker. I feel like, pretty easy, non-controversial pick. So I thought. But, you know, Hawkins obviously has the potential to be great. I think of him more as like a Brandon Whedon and Joseph Randall kind of deal. Like Joe Randall in 2011 had about 1,300 yards and 24 touchdowns or something like that. So I feel like Caleb Hawkins could probably pull something off like that. But if we're going to win the number of games that I think we're going to win, more of that is going to be on the shoulders and the arm, potentially the legs, of Drew Mestemaker. And so he's my MVP.
Switching to the defensive side, there's a couple of, you know, Ethan Wislowski, Christian Bodner's been getting talked up quite a bit. Jaleel Johnson's been getting talked up quite a bit. I think I am going to lean Jahleel Johnson based solely on the fact that if you've listened to me or if you've, you know, read some stuff I've written over the past couple of years, I've been a Jahleel Johnson believer ever since I've had to stand in front of him and just like look up at him and realize how massive of a human being he is. So I think he's going to be that guy for Oklahoma State's defense this year. He wasn't super healthy last year. I think he only played in four games. But even going into last year, he had a little bit of buzz. And then with Eric Morris talking about Big 12 Media Days, that he was the most disruptive defender in the spring, got me feeling a little bit better, even more so. So I'm gonna lean Jahleel Johnson. Nathan, what say you?
Yeah, I'm going Ethan Wislowski. I just think he's the dude. I think he's going to play on Sundays. I like his mannerisms. I like the way he talks. He's a leader. He's a tone setter again. I use that phrase again. But when you watch him, you look at him, you hear the way he talks, like guys listen. I think he is a phenomenal tackler, and everything's going to get funneled to him on this defense. If the defensive line is as good as the coaches say that they are, he's going to have a million tackles, and he's going to be the leader of this football team.
Ethan Wislowski, the man getting Oskies. I don't know. I tried. That's probably not going to work. But tackles for sure, right? Interceptions, maybe not so much. Hopefully, but yeah, I think he's going to be flying around, making all the plays. Just a guy that I see kind of taking over that defense and being a Nick Martin 2.0 or something like that. So that's what I'm anticipating, and he'll be my MVP for that. What do you think, Colby?
Yeah, I searched for a dark horse, and I just couldn't get myself across the finish line to pick one of these other guys. I went with Ethan Wislowski as well. Last year, he had 104 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, an interception. He's the unequivocal leader of this defense. Like, if that doesn't scream a guy who's going to come in and be your MVP, like, I think if Ethan Wislowski's not the MVP, it means one of two things happened on that side of the ball. Somebody went berserk and finished the season with 11 sacks, and if that happens, whoo! I love that scenario. The other scenario is that the defense is terrible, and they get run on for 5 yards a carry again, and Ethan Wislowski's not putting up the numbers in the middle of that defense that we think. So I think those are the two scenarios where he's not the defensive MVP, injury obviously being the other one, and hopefully neither of those happen. I need this to be a league average to slightly above league average defense. Just don't lose games where you score 40 points, and I think Wislowski can be the anchor of that.
We've got a new sponsor for the Reload podcast. The Reload podcast is sponsored by American Gold Standard, the nation's leading gold and silver advisory firm. As you've probably heard over the past 20 years, gold has increased roughly sevenfold as central banks continue to aggressively accumulate it as a strategic reserve asset. In the last year alone, central banks have added about 863 tons of gold to their reserves. American Standard Gold helps clients diversify and protect their retirement with gold, silver, precious metal IRAs, and their Bullion Box subscription, which delivers expertly curated gold and silver every month with plans starting at only $100 with other custom options available. Visit bullionbox.com today and use the code RELOAD10 for 10% off your first Bullion Box, or call 346-680-5015 with any questions, or simply head over to AmericanStandardGold.com and learn how you may qualify for free gold in your IRA by using code RELOAD. So we thank American Gold or American Standard Gold for sponsoring the Reload podcast. A little bit more niche predictions now. I think we all think Caleb Hawkins is going to be the leading rusher. Who's going to be the second leading rusher? Some candidates include Ayo Adaye, who is with the staff at North Texas before going to James Madison. Trey Page from Tarleton State. Drew Mestemaker could be that guy. I think sacks are probably going to disqualify him from this, in all honesty. I think it's sort of stupid that sacks count against quarterbacks rushing totals in college. But I think I'm going to go – this is something that I've had my eye on all spring into the fall. I think Trey Page is sort of separating himself as RB2 right now. So that's where I'm going to lean. It's obviously a big jump up from Tarleton State, but you know, Morris has mentioned he wants guys to sort of take the load off of Hawkins, because he had to run him quite heavily whenever he finally got in last season. So yeah, I think I'm leaning the Tarleton State transfer, Trey Page. Justin, what do you think?
I like that pick. I'd be totally fine picking Trey Page as the second leading rusher as well. I'm thinking, if you guys are so high on Hawkins and being the MVP, offensive line's got to be pretty darn good. So he should be able to run behind that line as well. But I do kind of like that sneaky pick of maybe picking Mestemaker. I get the sacks and everything, but I mean, I could see them running about the same. So I'm going to lean the edge for Trey Page just for the fact that he's a running back, and I think that he can pull away. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. It's pretty exciting, though. Colby, what do you think?
Yeah, on my sheet, I wrote N-A because I think Caleb Hawkins is going to be an absolute workhorse. Like, I don't think he's coming off the field a ton. Against Tulsa, I expect him to come off the field. Against Murray State, I expect him to come off the field maybe in the fourth quarter against Iowa State and against Kansas. When the football matters, I think Caleb Hawkins is taking 90% of the snaps at running back. Just to deviate, I'll go with AO and say that he could be the second leading rusher because I think Hawkins is going to play so much. I think it could very well be Mestemaker, but like Marshall said, the absolute nonsense of quarterback sacks counting against their individual rushing yards is just kind of silly in college football. So I thought about going totally off the wall with a dark horse pick like Chris Barnes. Like, you just run a handful of reverses throughout the season to Chris Barnes, and, you know, he houses two of them from 70 yards, and all of a sudden he becomes the team's second leading rusher. But I didn't have the stones to do that. So I'll go with AO just to be different. But yeah, it could be any one of those guys, because I think it's going to be like a 90% Hawkins timeshare, and then the other guys are going to split it like 3-3-3.
I think that's not a bad take either. But just after watching it and seeing it in person, like, Trey Page has so much juice, man. Like, the kid can really go. And we know that it's extremely difficult to go through an entire season with one running back. You even saw that if you watched the film last year with Caleb Hawkins. You know, he got dinged up a little bit there at the end a couple times. I believe that Trey Page is going to have some big games. He's a home run hitter. And if you're able to have some two back sets and some things like that, where he gets a misdirection and you've got him on the, you know, like, you got dual screens, you got going both ways. He ends up going to Trey Page instead of Caleb Hawkins. All it takes is that safety to be leaning Caleb Hawkins way, and Trey Page has the juice to go all the way with it. So I say Trey Page, because whenever I watched him, I thought he looked awesome. And I'm really looking forward to that Hawkins and Page backfield.
I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball. Instead of doing the top three receivers, let's just do the leading receiver, because I think this is like the deepest room in terms of skill positions that's going on. Obviously, Wyatt Young comes over with the, you know, built-in rapport with Drew Mestemaker. Really love Chris Barnes. Justin Bowick has been on the tip of everybody's, you know, tongue all fall, it seems like. And then you've got a guy like Miles Coleman who's still flying under the radar, and I think he's going to, you know, really pop at some point this year. But I've been riding with Chris Barnes all spring, all summer. I deviated a little bit with all of the Justin Bowick hype, but I'm going to stick with Chris Barnes, just because I would hate myself if I rode with him for, you know, 8 months or whatever it's been, and then gave up on him right at the end. So I think Chris Barnes is going to be this team's leading receiver. Colby, what do you think?
I think you've lost it. I was actually going to ask a clarifying question if we were saying this team's leading receiver or second leading receiver. Look, man, if Chris Barnes does it, that will be a legendary prediction. I will personally come in here and cut the clip and send it out to the masses. I've got Wyatt Young. My other ones that I had in there, I had Bowick at two and Miles Coleman at three. I mean, Wyatt Young, he was just the rapport, the chemistry with Mestemaker. It's just you can't just build that without the experience. 70 catches, 1,264 yards and 10 touchdowns. Like, that's just absolutely sick. I think that they've got the trust in each other. I think that's the easy button. I think it's Wyatt Young.
Yeah, I don't think you can replicate exactly what Colby just said. Especially when the bullets are coming live, you're going to go back to the guy that got you to where you are. And that's Wyatt Young. And the guy is amazing after the catch, and he's extremely competitive. So I don't see and I said a while back, like, my biggest question for him coming over was, like, would he be able to be that guy at this level? Cause it is a step up. Maybe he doesn't hit as many home runs as he did at UNT. He's a dog. Like, he goes and gets the ball. It doesn't matter where it's at. He doesn't go down easily. And honestly, I didn't even have Chris Barnes in my top three, so I was a little surprised by that.
I can't wait for me and Chris Barnes to prove all of you guys wrong.
I love Chris Barnes. I mean, the guy is a little muscle hamster. He's phenomenal. I just don't think he's going to get the volume. And actually, I have Terrence Lewis as my top three. I think the kid's got some juice, and I think he's going to be probably the third most on receiving yards.
you're excited about what you're seeing in scrimmages right now. I get it. I'm going to go with Wyatt Young just for the fact of comfort. You know, when you're a quarterback back there and you've got, you know, you're stepping up a level, right? You're going from group of five, group of six up to power four level. Things are going to be moving a little bit faster. The best way you can slow it down is by relying on somebody that you have that chemistry with. So Wyatt Young is my pick for the top leading receiver.
We've basically now locked in the fact that Justin Bowick's going to be the group's leading receiver, and we're all going to look like idiots for not picking the 6'5" guy who runs a 4.3.
So I had him at two. I had him at two.
I thought this would be a more diverse group, which is why I called a bit of an audible, but I guess I was wrong there. We'll move over to sack leader. It feels like it's been a while since Oklahoma State's really had, you know, one of those Colin Oliver type guys. Obviously, you know, last year Wendell Gregory was fun, but he only had four sacks, and three of them came, I think, in the first game. So I think, you know, Jaleel Johnson's not a big sack guy, but if he's going to be the defensive MVP, like I said, he's going to, I think I'm going to have to lean Jaleel Johnson instead of, you know, putting eggs in different baskets here. I think I'm going all in on Jaleel. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I've got James Williams. I love what he brings size-wise, athleticism-wise, experience-wise at Nebraska and Florida State. He comes over. I think he fits the scheme really, really well. I don't just full circle, like, not full circle, full disclosure, I don't think that anybody's going to be like a double-digit sack guy, because I think you're going to rotate so much through this. So I think you're looking at like leading sack being like 8, 7, 7.5, something like that. And I think that's going to be James Williams. I just really like what I saw. I like his experience. He, you know, as a sophomore, he had 5 at Nebraska, didn't have quite as much as he wanted at Florida State. But I really like what he can do.
This is probably the toughest one for me. I'm like, I don't know. Kavion Huddleston, did he do pretty well at North Texas? Like, he probably got, what, 5 or 6 sacks. Maybe he can do that here. Is that going to be enough? I don't, like, Malik Charles, is he going to be able to get some pressure with all the muscle he's added on in this offseason? So I have no idea. Complete toss-up. This is like throwing darts at a chalkboard for me, because I have no idea.
I went Kavion Huddleston on this one. I considered several names. I considered Jaleel Johnson. I considered James Williams. Actually, I considered it in I White. I don't know exactly where it's going to come from, but when push came to shove and I had to put a name down, I kept going back to the names where I feel like the trust has already been established. Like Kavion Huddleston, he was the sack leader last year for North Texas. He was their chaos agent defensively, getting back their tackles for loss, making things happen. So when it's 3rd and 9 and Skylar Cassidy has to decide personnel on the field, I think he's going to trust Kavion Huddleston to be out there and come off the edge. So I considered several guys, and I'm fully prepared to be wrong about this one. I think there's even more. I think there's probably 5, 6, 7 guys on this team that we could look up in mid-October and have any of them be the sack leader at that point in the season. But I'm going with Huddleston based on the familiarity and the trust with the staff.
Justin, who was your official prediction? Okay, sweet. So that leaves – I don't think we should do tackle leader, honestly. We all think it's going to be Ethan Wislowski, yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Ethan Wislowski is the groupthink tackle leader. So we'll move over to interception leader. This is going to be a little more interesting. The corners are still, you know, last we heard, battling it out for starting positions. I think I'm going to lean Quentin Hammonds, the safety that they brought over. They're moving him from the slot guy, the nickel cornerback, back a little bit because Christian Bodner's coming in. So I don't know. He had 2 interceptions last year. I think, you know, just being able to see a little bit more field maybe helps with that. He had a sick interception, which is honestly, you know, the sole reason I'm picking him is he went up in like Jordan Brand one-handed interception. So that's sticking out in my head. But yeah, I just think him moving back from the line of scrimmage, he'll be able to see a little bit more and use those instincts to maybe intercept a couple of passes. So Colby, what do you think?
Yeah, I've heard only really good things about Mo Horn being a guy who can hold up in man coverage this offseason. And I like the idea of Skylar Cassidy wanting to have a chaotic defense, wanting to use exotic blitzes, and needing to trust his corners to hold up in man in those situations. So by that logic, I think Mo Horn could be on the field a lot. I think he could get a lot of opportunities in these man situations to undercut some of these routes and to just stay in the hip pocket of his receiver, be in the ball. right place at the right time. If a ball's underthrown, things of that nature. Nobody's going to pick off 7, 8, 9 balls this year, but could he get 3? Could he get 4? Yeah, maybe in man coverage if he is as good as people are saying he is. So I went with Mo Horn. I think there's any number of candidates, kind of like the sack leader. I think there's maybe even more because the secondary is just we don't even really know what the rotations are going to be right now in the secondary. We're going to learn a lot in the first few weeks of the season as far as how many guys rotate through on the back end of that defense. But I'll go Mo Horn because I think he's going to be on the field a lot, and I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities in man whenever they try to blitz.
Man, I love that pick. I think I might change my pick to Mo Horn as well. That just sounds so good. Only because I didn't really have major confidence going into it with my original pick, which was Christian Bodner. I just feel like we don't know that much about him. I expected him to be able to bounce back from that injury and maybe show some signs of what he was doing over at Liberty. But even looking back then, I don't know how many interceptions he had over there. So I just kind of expected him to maybe even slot in a little bit at the nickel position and maybe sneak in and kind of pick off, you know, and with his size kind of disrupt and sneak in there and get some interceptions. But I really, the more I hear you talk, Colby, the more I like Mo Horn. So I'm going to make that my official prediction as well. So thank you for the nice tip there.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
There you go. I'm going to go with Christian Bodner. I think he's taken over the position that led UNT in interceptions last year. I think if the defensive line, again, is the strength of this defense, like we've been led to believe, that means that in the nickel position, the guy that's covering the roam, you know, been able to do a lot of things. He's going to have a lot of opportunities. Colby, you make a great point on the man coverage. You're thinking like, oh, everyone saw the PFF numbers of Day-Day Field. He's just going to go off. Like that last half of last year was just throw it away, guys. Like there was nothing there. I'm not saying like he's not a good football player, but I'm just saying like if you're holding on to that, that makes him that he's going to be an all Big 12 football player, which maybe he will be. It's going to have nothing to do with that last half of the film from last year. So I'm going to go with Christian Bodner because I loved his film. And I think I said it a couple weeks ago, I don't know if he's on the Oklahoma State football team if it wasn't for the unfortunate sickness that he had. I think the guy is a football playing Jesse, and he's going to lay the wood. And I think he's going to be a big part if this defense is going to be any good.
Well, we made it. You know, a little over an hour is a little long for reload pods. But it is the season. Football is finally here. The next time that you hear the reload, we'll be previewing the Tulsa game. The next time I imagine you'll be hearing Carson and Colby, they'll be previewing the Tulsa game. So we have finally made it back to football. That feels great. Colby, why don't you get us out of here?
Yeah, great stuff, fellas. Always enjoy these. Love listening to you guys. Good stuff this offseason. We are so close. 2.5 weeks, 1.5 weeks, however long it is till football season. It just, man, August is dragging on. It's so hot. We're cooking. We're just waiting for the season to get underway. Carson, feel better. I will hold your feet to the fire whenever we get back together and make you pick official wins and losses. We've got to get him on the spreadsheet so that we can grade this thing whenever the season is over. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, whether you're listening or watching. As always, go Pokes!